All right, family, Big Rob, do you want to take the honor of introducing our next guest? Not hearing you there, sir. Not hearing you. Not hearing you at all.
I would love to take that honor if it's okay with you and who we got our next guest.
Sure.
Okay. All right. We have the honor and the privilege and the pleasure to introduce to some and present to others Chief Judge Gregory C. Pittman.
Judge Pittman, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good, Paul. Robert, what's happening?
Since it's not the judge show, I guess we really it's kind of different when we have a little flow when it's the judge show. Now I gotta ask you a bunch of questions about election stuff and so don't take these questions personal. All right.
Don't take them personal. It's just business.
This is all business for the people.
As the man on Harlem Nights said, don't take this.
So, Judge, we are 2 weeks away from election. How you feel?
Hopeful that the record that I've created over the last 24 years means something to people. As you ride around town, man, there is so many political signs of folks who are running for positions, and it's almost become like what the term they use, white noise. That you don't even it's become overwhelming, and I don't have a ton of signs out and about, but I'm hoping that the record that I've created over this 24 years speaks a bit for me, and I'm hopeful about that.
To those who don't understand, why did you decide to get into this particular race?
Thank you for that question. That is a question that's been raised a bunch of times, and I certainly understand why. I'm a sitting judge already, right? So the assumption from a lot of people would be, well, you're already a judge. Why would you run for another judgeship? Well, I am the sitting chief judge of this court. When I applied to the Supreme Court, Michigan Supreme Court, when I was asked to apply, let me make that very clear, I was encouraged to do so by previous chief judges of my court. I applied, and they require you to produce a plan for how you're going to lead the court that you are seeking to be the chief of. And part of the plan, amongst many other things that I submitted to them, was that our courts right now are not aligned in what I believe is the most efficient and proficient way to provide services to our community. Let me explain that a little deeper. I'm a probate court judge. I have a colleague on the probate court. There are two of us. Neither one of us is doing primarily probate court work. Neither one of us. Over time, and as a result of some changes in how dockets and jurisdictions are allowed to be seen, some very technical stuff. Over time, what has occurred is that the probate court work for the county of Muskegon is kind of parceled out amongst myself, the other probate court judge, and the other four circuit court judges. So literally, cases could go, depending on what they entail, could go to any one of the six of us in that probate court. What that leaves us is really a sort of a way to manage, but to not thrive and improve and focus on the type of work that probate matters require. So when we were successful in getting the new judgeship created, and I'm very proud of being part of that lobbying effort, we've been at that for more than 10 years. When the governor finally signed that into law, part of my plan to the Michigan Supreme Court was that if she did sign that into law, I would take the step of moving out of my comfortable probate court seat, so to speak, and run to move the docket that I cover, which is family court, to the circuit court with me. That would then open up literally the seat I'm sitting in right here, right now in probate court, for the governor to appoint or for there to be an election of a judge who would then be responsible for full-time probate court work. And there would be then a focus from one of the judges here in this court, just like there's a focus on criminal court, there's a focus on civil matters. We even have a judge who is dedicated to business court type matters between, you know, corporations and other business type litigation. But we don't have anybody dedicated to the probate court work. That's why I'm running. I ran PA because I thought it was a leadership step. If I'm the leader, if I'm going to lead this court, if I'm going to make sure that our court is aligned as well as it could possibly be, then I got to kind of make the sacrifice to go out here and knock on doors and put up signs and be subjected to the kind of scrutiny that I'm being subjected to.
Right.
To lead our court into a better alignment. That's why I did it.
Wow. Did you expect this race to be this tough?
Well, I'm not necessarily saying it's tough.
They come to that Michigan State Spartan coming out of here. Yeah. That's right. That Draymond Green coming out now, Big Rob. Well,
yeah, it is. yeah, it is.
I never said it was tough in the sense of the competition, the level of competition, to be very honest. And I don't want to be arrogant. But I have a 24-year record. I have never been overturned by an appellate court on any case that's been appealed from me.
Wow.
Well, I run a court that runs absolutely on time. Any lawyer that you run across, they may not like everything that happens in my court, but they will tell you they don't ever have to waste time in my court. I start on time and I get people out of here. I have the best clearance numbers of any judge in this courthouse. That means I'm hitting all of the marks that the Supreme Court has set for us to hit as far as being able to clear our cases in a timely manner. I'm respected all over the state. I was just appointed in February to serve as the co-chair by the governor, the co-chair of a statewide task force that has the responsibility of improving children's welfare issues. I have an expertise in family law. That's why I'm going to move myself in my docket instead of moving away from the docket I have. It makes no sense for me to have built the expertise that I have over this 24 years and then just walk away from it to do something else. It is challenging in the sense that I'm an older guy, you know, it's tough getting out here every day and doing the things that a campaign requires. But one of the things that's been missing in this campaign, and it will happen tonight, I hope, is that there's not been many opportunities for the candidates to be in the same room and speak to the people at the same time about the same issues.
And you want that.
Huh? What's that?
You want that.
I want that because I guarantee you my record and I can stand with anybody who would deign to want to be on the court here in Muskegon County. Now, they're good people. I'm not saying that they're not good people, but I want people to listen when they hear the folks who are running against me talk about what it is they think can be done, what they think they want to do, what they think is needed, what they think is how things should be. Then I want them to listen to me talk about what I know is being done, what I know can be done, what I know should be done, and how we are going to attempt to approach doing it. That's called a record.
Wow. All right, Rob, go ahead, man. We got a couple questions we asked the previous guests, and we got some questions for you. Go ahead, Big Rob.
Yeah, one thing is, how do you feel about raising the gun law to 21?
How do I feel about raising the age of being able to
purchase a gun
to 21?
Yes.
I don't really have a strong feeling one way or the other about that. First of all, I would say this, and I certainly respect the question, but that's outside of my bailiwick as a judge. That's a legislative question more than anything. A question, you know, that I think really is more appropriate for a legislator. Mm-hmm. I would say this. I think the Second Amendment guarantees us the right to be able to bear arms. I respect the Second Amendment and your right to bear arms. And as far as these age limits, I'm certainly of the opinion that if you are of the age that you can go and fight for your country, put your life in risk, in harm, if you can carry a gun at 18 with a military uniform on, then I don't see any reason why you should now have to wait to be 21 to carry a gun when you are a civilian.
Judge, you've been at the courthouse over 20 years and
26 years.
To 26 be exact. Years. Mm-hmm. You're a young man when you got there.
Yes, sir. Really was.
I'm sure you've seen a lot of things that was probably perceived as being unfair to African American and poor people. Have you done what have you done in the 26 years maybe to right some of those things?
You know, I think first of all, I agree with you that I have seen all manner of unfairness to people of color when they come into this justice system. And I'm a part of it. I'm a part of this system. So that criticism is not guided anywhere else. That criticism is a part of the system that I'm a part of. So I can speak on it. And I have certainly taken seriously the idea that part of what happens when we see injustice is it can be simple as the lack of exposure or unawareness of who the people are you're dealing with. So instead of knowing and accepting people as they are, there are sometimes these notions and preconceived notions that create these opportunities for unfairness to fester, to grow. I'm in the room, PA. Big Rob, I'm in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Those discussions go on inside of that room about understanding the differences in people that sometimes affect how justice is meted out. I'll use this example. Just because a young man or young woman doesn't exactly know the full government name of somebody that they believe would be a alibi witness to them or be able to provide them some excuse if they're accused of something, does not mean that that person is not being credible. That's the way we were raised. You guys know people from the neighborhood. You still don't know their full government name.
Exactly. Nickname.
Right.
That's it. Yeah.
Right. But
if you're not exposed to that as the potential, not saying that they are or not being truthful, but the potential that you're making a judgment about their credibility when you don't really understand why they are doing or saying what they're doing or saying. Let me go a little further, be a little more concrete. I'm incredibly proud of the steps that I have tried to take in creating more opportunities for people of color within this system. I was responsible for helping Black female attorney, Paula Tillman, to be the first referee of color in our family court. I was responsible as the chair of the search committee for being able to bring in Fred Johnson, African-American man, as the chief public defender here in Muskegon County. There is a judicial candidate who is in position to compete for the other seat, Kendra Robinson. I picked up the phone in my office while she was sitting here, despondent about the idea that she had failed the bar exam multiple times. I called Fred Johnson and I said, "Fred, there is a splendid young African-American woman sitting in my office who I believe has the potential to be a really good attorney here in this community. Is there some kind of way that you could bring her on your staff and then give her a position when she passes the bar?" And Fred Johnson, to his credit, good man, said, "We'll figure something out. We'll make that happen."
Wow.
She now is able to go into her campaign and speak of the experience that she's received being a public defender because of me picking up the phone, calling this other African-American man, speaking on her behalf to just not do anything special.
Right.
Just give her the opportunity
exactly.
to prove herself. That doesn't happen if I'm not in the room. That doesn't happen if I'm not in this seat. And I'll go a little further. When she was hired, I told Fred off the record, "When you assign her to a court, assign her to my court, because I want to help her as she starts her career to understand how to be a good lawyer."
Wow.
Man, all the conversations me and you have had, you never said that.
Well, you know, that's not the kind of thing that you normally just share with people.
Before. Wow.
PA, Rob, both of y'all, wonderful, wonderful, incredible men, both of you.
Thanks, sir.
You do a lot of things for people that you don't even speak of.
Yeah.
Because you do them because it's the right thing to do and because God has blessed you and you want to bless somebody else.
Right.
But now that I have to step out here and talk about who I am in order to convince people that they should vote for me one more time, now I have to start speaking a little bit on who I am and what I've done.
Wow. Now, you done messed up my whole line of questions.
Yeah, mine too. Judge, what? Wow. Circuit court. Doesn't circuit court just deal with felonies?
And on the criminal side, circuit court is where felony cases are decided. Felony cases start in district court through what's called the probable cause phase of a criminal prosecution. Once you get to that phase and the prosecution is successful, then it's waived into circuit court for the actual trial. Circuit court is also where civil matters that have a dollar value of over $25,000 are adjudicated.
Now, is that what this judgeship will be handling? Will it be handling criminal cases or will it be handling just probate cases?
The seat that I'm seeking?
Yes, sir.
Well, as chief judge, one of the things in the chief judge rule, there's a whole rule in the Michigan's court rules called the chief judge rule. It lays out specifically what I am empowered to do as chief judge. One of the things I'm empowered to do as chief judge is to make the final determination of who on the bench, which judges on the bench serve what dockets. Brother, that's a little authority.
Yes, sir.
And of course, the way we do it here in Muskegon is we do it collaboratively. We sit down together and try to figure out how best to utilize our resources and our strengths in order to do that work. But if it came down to having to make the final decision and there was no agreement, that's on me. And I'd make that decision. So the decision regarding this new seat has not fully been made yet, but it is anticipated that if I win, it's not anticipated, it will happen. If I win, the family court docket will be, this family court docket will move into circuit court. If I don't win, then we're going to have a little bit more discussion based on who actually does win. And see, my opponents, the folks who are running against me, I don't know Eldon Brady's record very much. I don't see him very often around the courthouse. I know he's got a practice, but I don't really know what his practice is about. The other, Matthew Casel, is a pretty primarily a family law and criminal type judge, I mean, type attorney. And Al Swanson has a pretty general kind of a practice. I don't think he does a lot of civil work. I know he does some, he did some public defender work before he lost that contract. And he does some divorce. None of them have do much abuse and neglect cases. None of them do any probate, really, at all. So if one of them were to win, then we'd have to really have a good long look at where that seat would go. I anticipate the other circuit court seat. And again, I'm just talking from my perspective. That hasn't been a full discussion amongst the members of the circuit yet. But I'm anticipating that they will kind of step into the same role that Judge Marietti is in now, which is primarily criminal work.
Wow. Hey, Judge, before we go, a couple more questions. How can people connect with you? How can they join your campaign? How can they donate money if you're accepting money? The whole works.
Go to my website, Pittman, P-I-T-T-M-A-N, four, the number four, judge. Pittman, the number four, judge.com. And there is a page for volunteering. And there is a donate function there. I am not soliciting. I am not asking. Judges are kind of prohibited from direct solicitation of campaign contributions, but there is a donate function there. My beautiful, lovely, strong, bad girl. My wife is putting up the website address there. I'm also on Facebook. Thank you, honey. I'm also on Facebook at forjudge.pittman.
That was clever. That was very clever. Who thought of that? Did you think of that or Cherish did?
I'm going to take credit for that. But listen, can I tell you about that a little bit?
Sure.
The three opponents that I have filed an injunction to restrain me from being able to use that or to refer to myself as judge during the course of this campaign.
Wow.
They took me to court.
Wow.
To have a judge issue a restraining order that says that I cannot refer to myself as chief judge or refer to anything to do with the fact that I've been a judge for 24 years.
Wow. Let's take your history away from you, experience and all that. And what did the judge say?
He said, no. he denied their request for the temporary restraining order. Two of the three of them then pulled out. They withdrew. The last of them is still in it. That's Attorney Casel. We have a hearing before Judge Hulsing down in Ottawa County on July 29th for him to make a final decision on whether or not the permanent restraining order would be issued. And for people who don't understand, when you seek a restraining order, it's really in two phases. The first phase is called the temporary restraining order, the TRO, which means it is either granted or denied immediately because of what they believe is, you know, immediate harm. And after that decision is made, then it still has to be heard as a full hearing, whether or not the restraining order would continue or would actually be issued as a permanent injunction, as a permanent restraining order. So phase one, they got knocked out of the box. Phase two is coming up July 29th.
Judge, how do you feel personally about that?
Well, you know, I'm a lawyer and I understand lawyering. But what was surprising to me in that, and nothing about politics should be surprising, but what was surprising to me about that was the lack of what I would consider legitimate legal scholarship. See, in my mind, you don't go to court unless you have a unless you have a legitimate cause of action. And if that's the level of legal analysis that they did in the process of coming to the idea of filing that, that's woefully lacking. There was no substance to that filing. And here's the other thing, and we'll wrap it up here. The idea that I, the idea being behind that is that I was misleading people into thinking that I'm the incumbent of this seat, and it's a new judgeship, right? So there is no incumbent. So I can't call myself the incumbent, even though I'm a sitting judge. But if it were found that I was actually intentionally trying to mislead people, that's a misdemeanor in the state of Michigan. That's a crime.
Wow.
These guys accuse me of a crime.
Wow. Judge, so much I want to say. I need to wrap because I got another interview in Orlando with a judge that's in another situation like you.
Sure.
I got to feel like I got to get you back on because I want the community to hear some things that you've been through. But we'll talk about that later and find another time.
Certainly. Thank you for the time that you all made available for me and those who are running as well.
We did offer the other ones. They haven't responded. So we're going to roll with who we get.
I just want people to appreciate that if they can't respond to 103.7 The Beat, do they deserve your vote?
There you go. Thanks, Judge. God bless you, man.